Okay, everybody, welcome back to Chat with the Hat, episode 19. I have a very special guest with me this weekend. As we are having this little lull between rounds, because, you know, how good is a 12-round calendar with about 6 weeks between races? I have to introduce to you one of my good friends from across the ditch, from the land of the long white cloud and the Cuzzy Bro himself from Motorsport Kiwi, Jaden Aben. How you going, buddy?
Oh, buddy, good, thanks, David. Yeah, ticking away, mate. Excited to be on your show. It's something I've really been enjoying. So, yeah, really appreciate you giving me the opportunity. And, yeah, definitely looking forward to talking some good motorsport.
Yeah, thanks for that, mate. Now, we actually met each other a couple of years ago when, out of the blue, Puka Koei announced that, thanks for coming, but don't come back. Like, so late, they just pulled the pin on the track. And I went, oh, well, if I don't go now, I'm never going, because there won't be anywhere to go at Puka Koei. So I flew over, and we'd already been chatting, which we're going to get to very shortly, with one of the most incredible fan initiatives that the sport's ever seen that was the most successful. And that's when we actually caught up in real world, face-to-face, over at Backside Trackside.
Yeah. So it was awesome. Opportunity to meet each other and spend a weekend, you know, just soaking in the racing. And especially for you, you've never been to Puka Koei or, you know, a New Zealand round. So it was quite cool to see you come over and soak up the Kiwi kind of culture. And, you know, it seemed like we had a lot of fun and, you know,
oh,
like,
dude, I soaked it up.
Yeah. Oh, you did.
We had so much fun. We had so much fun, in fact, that I got stranded at the circuit and I couldn't even make it back to my hotel, which was in Papatoeto.
Yep. So probably, 45-minute drive from the track.
45 minutes. And I had no car. I'd been dropped off at the circuit. My ride shot back to Auckland during the middle of the day. Forgot to tell me that they were leaving. And so ended up crashing couch surfing with one of your mates, part of your crew, down in Puka Koei for the night. And, Jesus, we have fun that night.
Oh, it was, it sounded like a real adventure. Like, it was, it was something that I was almost expecting, you know, like the thing, you know, that's real about you, you know, you managed to find a lot of new people and, you know, you're always meeting new people. And I was not surprised that you ended up, you know, couch surfing at their place. And yeah, it was fantastic to see the stories and, you know, you're soaking up the Kiwi culture.
Went to one house and partied there. Then we went to another house and we locked the keys in the first house and we had to go back and break into that house. And then we had to go back to the other house. And then we're drinking homemade bourbon. And then, it was just one of those nights that, because it went so wrong, it went so right. Like, the partying with all your mates, like, your crew are awesome. You're the best bunch of crew over there.
We're very lucky, you know, we're all very passionate and you know, we like a good laugh. So, you know, it's a good little vibe. And, you know, when you've got all those kind of people around and, you know, the banter and everything's just great. And, you know, like, and I thought straight away, you know, just seeing, I knew a bit about you just from the Erebus Army and, you know, been able to see how much of a character you were. So I knew you'd fit right in and, you know, it was just a great, great experience. You know, I'm so glad that you did come over and soak it up. We definitely made some memories and, you know, it was just great to meet in person and just banter about the sport.
The best memory was that chopper ride with your Top Gun pilot. That was the best chopper ride I've ever had. I've done heaps, but he was dive bombing the circuit, chucking sky skids, full banking. It was awesome.
Oh, unbelievable, eh? We're watching these people before us and we're going, oh, that looks pretty cruisy. You know, like that looks like we're just going to be puttering around. And then, yeah, our pilot just seemed to put it on for us. And geez, you know, when you're looking out the window directly at the ground, it's like, geez, this is a bit of fun. This is pretty intense.
He's doing full bank rolling and stuff. And we were just laughing and cheering in the background, just going, do it again, do it again. And he's gone, okay. Yeah.
Oh, he was just loving life that day, and I think he gave us a special ride, which was just fantastic, and be able to see Puka Koei from those angles, you know, it's definitely experienced that.
The only angle we didn't get was upside down, and we almost got there.
Yeah, exactly right. surely that's going to be Taupo, mate, next year. We'll be doing that.
I hope so. I'm keen. I'm coming. Oh, yeah, I've got my stuff locked up. I don't know exactly which date they're in, but I've already booked some accommodation there on that speculated calendar, that slot. So it seems like it might be the week before Anzac Day over there.
Yeah,
because, you know, you guys have got a rule. There's no racing anywhere in Anzac Day in up at Puka Koei, like that Auckland Council. You're not allowed to go racing on Anzac Day. That's why they had to pull it last year.
Yeah, well, that's it, and it's a shame because you know we did it back in 2014 at Pukekohe. They did it as a 4-day race weekend, and they started on Thursday, went to Sunday, and the Friday was Anzac Day,
Ah, so
and
there's
that.
that gap day.
Yeah. So, well, no, we still raced on Anzac Day. On the Friday, we did qualifying in the first race. It was a full race weekend that weekend.
Oh,
It was, yeah, four sprints, and Jason Bright won it. You know, coming off winning the Jason Richards Trophy the following year, the former year. So, yeah, it was a great experience though. Like we were all on the hill, and they did a moment of silence. You know, when they were doing like the last post, and you know, like doing all the traditions. And I tell you what, there wasn't a bird chirping. It was when they did the silence. It was amazing to see, you know, just thousands and thousands of people and pit lane and everything just dead silent. You know, Pukekohe and motorsport's known for its noise, and when you're in that kind of environment and it's just dead silent, it was just a yeah, it was a
It's
chilling
eerie, isn't
experience.
it? It's
Yeah,
really
very much
powerful
so. But
stuff. It's really powerful.
And I think it's a great idea to kind of tee it up with that because, you know, like with supercars, it's quite the Anzac. You know, there's a lot of Kiwis, a lot of Australians, you know, working together. So I think it's a great opportunity to be able to, you know, kind of
Do
tee it up
Anzac
as
round.
well. Yeah, exactly. And you know, people can get into it with tribute liveries like Walkinshaw HRT did in the past. And, you
Erebus
know,
have
I
done
love that
some
kind of
with the
stuff.
army. We do it with the council
Exactly.
round and stuff. We have our army liveries.
Exactly. And I think it's just fantastic, you know, when you can involve, you know, the forces and have that kind of, you know, show that kind of respect and collaboration with them. And you know, I'd love to see that in the future. And you know, for us, you wouldn't want to go too much later over here. You know, it loves to rain, you know, kind of late April, early May. So, you know, I think, you know, if it's not going to be Anzac, I'd love it to be near the start of the season or near the end. Because we've had it a few times where the boys have come over and it's been pretty horrid. And yeah, as a spectator, and especially at Pukekohe, it wasn't great. There wasn't much shelter. So when it
No.
was raining, everyone was just cramming in at the alcohol tents, and you know, other than that, you were just getting soaked. So it wasn't a great experience. So I'm hoping, I know that Tony is going to do a fantastic job with Taupo putting on an event. So, you know, I've got a lot of faith, even if it is, you know, there is a bit of rain over that weekend. We're going to have an absolute awesome one. He does a fantastic job. I remember going to the New Zealand Grand Prix in 2021 when Shane raced, Shane and Andre and all that, and he put on an event and a half at Hampton Downs. So, you know, like it was mega. There was so much to do. There was great support categories. You know, he really put on a show. And he really looked after the fans. So I think, you know, going to Taupo is going to be a great experience for the fans, you know, at the track. And it's going to be, yeah, something we all should look forward to.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely keen, definitely keen. And I'm going to catch up with your crew again. And
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
and
it's a date. It's a date. We're
I
definitely doing
think
that, mate.
everyone's got over their hangovers by now. So, yeah, we can hook. It's about 3 hours out of Auckland, though. Which way do I fly in? Which is best? Go to Wellington or go to Auckland and then get there?
I would probably go Auckland. It'd probably be the best way to go and just head on south. At least there's some good motorways now to be able to get down. It's going to be a little bit average with the traffic, I think.
I think
You
its
know,
traffic's
there's
going to be horrendous, to be
a,
frank.
exactly, and that's kind of the talk. And you know, I'm hoping they can kind of organise something that'll make it a bit more free flow. But at this stage, I think it wouldn't hurt. You know, if there's anyone out there that has a hot dog cart or anything like that to set up next to the entries and exits of the circuit, because you'll probably make a coin or two before and after the racing that weekend. So
There you
we'll see
go.
what happens. But you know, I think all of us would rather sit in traffic for a while than not have any racing over here. So
I agree.
you
I
know,
agree.
it's a small price to pay
Small price.
for having the entertainment and the circus over the side of the pond.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's next year. So let's look backwards now. So we've been looking forwards. Let's look backwards now. And I want to introduce you, as most people who have heard of you or your work would have known you as the Boost Wildcard petition
Yeah.
instigator back in the day when Peter Adderton was putting together a wildcard car for Bathurst for Greg Murphy and Richie Stanaway as the co as his co-driver with the Erebus team a couple of years ago, right when COVID decided to put us all in our lounge rooms and lock us up in our bedrooms. But this was all your initiative, mate. So tell us how that all kicked off.
Well, so it was, I'm being a Kiwi, it's almost law to be a big fan of Murph, and I'm definitely always been a massive fan of him, and also Richie. I followed Richie when he went, was doing all the open wheeler stuff in the early 2010s. He absolute gun of a driver, and it was a shame that Europe never really eventuated. But when I was just scrolling through Instagram one night, and I follow Peter Adderton. He's a bit outspoken, and I enjoy reading a lot of his posts. So I just saw one pop up, and it was just a screenshot of Murph and Richie. And the week prior, or a couple of days prior, the Supercheap Auto wildcard was announced with Russell Ingall and Brock Feeney. So it was a thing where Peter felt like he was outmarketed. So he had the idea. He goes, "Let's do it. Let's get a Kiwi car, Boost Mobile. Let's get retired racers Murphy and Richie out of retirement. Get them back in the car for a Bathurst campaign." And when I saw it, I thought, oh, okay, this, I think it's just a bit of banter, and but I thought that's a really good idea. That would be so popular. Greg Murphy never had a proper farewell Bathurst. He, in 2014, his final start before last year, he ended up taking up the TV role. At that point, he looked like he was going to continue co-driving into 2015. So he never had a goodbye, like a "this is my final Bathurst." And it didn't go too well either. 2014 Bathurst, a lot went on. And unfortunately, they had electrical issues, so they never really got a good opportunity to be able to fight for anything in the 2014 edition. So it was really, I really love the idea of having a farewell Bathurst for Murph. And I know he's got a huge fan base. So to be able to, get him back in the car, I knew that'd be popular. And then the Richie aspect of it, I was such a big fan of him. And when everything kind of transpired in his 2 seasons racing full time in supercars, he never really got a good opportunity. Like that Tickford ride, he was in the fourth car. It doesn't matter who they have in that fourth car. They just don't seem to have the same opportunity as, say, the Waters car. Richie's, he was almost matching Waters when he was co-driving with him in 2017. He had awesome pace, and, you don't suddenly go 2 seconds slower than that driver. There was a lot of car issues, and he just didn't have the support at Tickford that year. And that really, I think, really gutted him out. He's driven in so many different categories, and everyone he's been competitive. He can drive, and to suddenly be right at the back of the pack and being like, "Why? I'm driving some awesome laps here, and it's just not coming up on the timesheets." That I think really kind of killed his confidence a bit. And then, the end of 2018, he was initially supposed to be on a 2-year contract, and both parties it just wasn't working for, so that got cut. Looked like Richie was going to be out of a ride for 2019, and then Peter Adderton jumped in with Boost Mobile, and ended up supporting Gary Rogers Motorsport, and took on Richie as part of the sponsorship deal, and give him another go, which was fantastic. But that year, like only a couple of years earlier, Gary Rogers moved back to Holden and Commodore after his Volvo kind of experience, and so, like Gary Rogers weren't quite as competitive as they had been. More of a mid-pack team, and unfortunately there was a lot of politics in the background as well. Gary was nearing the end of his supercars venture. Like a lot of people put it down to Boost Mobile pulling the plug at the end of the year, why Gary Rogers did go, and the situation wasn't great. That definitely was a factor. But I think, Gary Rogers and Barry, they both were looking elsewhere for a little bit anyway, and they wanted to really get into the S5000 TCR, and the Trans Ams, and just kind of go in a different direction, because I know Gary, after a lot of things with supercars and that, just it wasn't really working. So it was a shame that Richie suffered back injury, and well, he his neck and back,
Nick, yeah.
he had to step down for a few rounds in 2019, and then the controversy at the Gold Coast with the media and not being there where he should have been, and that whole situation, it didn't unfold like it should have. In the end, Peter had no idea about what went on. He heard about Richie losing his seat for the race on social media. And don't get me wrong, it's important to be there for fan sessions and for the media sessions. It's part of your role. It's part of the job. But I think
Absolutely.
that was, it was really hard, to pull him out of the car because of it. That was pretty hard. And again, that would have been a big confidence hit And, you know, and you could see Richie was really struggling by the end of that year. He just was not in a happy environment. And by the time that he left at Newcastle in 2019, he left his helmet and all at the track. He had no desire whatsoever to continue in any motorsport. He was happy with that being the end of his story. He just did not enjoy racing anymore. And so he decided to hang up the helmet. And, you know, that's so sad for someone that only 4 years prior was looking very, very good for a Williams seat in Formula One. You know, and he was just a little bit of budget shortfall, which ended up preventing him from doing that. But, you know, he's a world-class driver. And to see his supercar venture end within 2 years in those kind of circumstances was really disappointing. So when the wildcard idea popped up, I thought, I need to do something and see if I can kind of gain a bit of, you know, momentum support behind it to see if we can somehow make this work. You know, I knew Murph for years had said that he'd never want to, you know, he's done. He's retired.
He's done. Absolutely.
Doesn't have any desire to come back.
Nope.
So I thought that would be the hard part, you know, and Richie, obviously, with everything that had gone on, trying to convince him to, you know, come back. So I started an Instagram and a Facebook page, Murphy Stanaway Wildcard, and I just started posting stuff in support of it. So initially it was, you know, just post saying, you know, be pictures of Murph's Bathurst Ventures or Richie, going, this is what they've done in the past. We'd love to see you back, guys. You know, look at the fan support. And then I'd start sharing stories just of their past, you know, go, you know, people seem to forget, but Richie won at Monaco in F2 and, you know, he's raced at Le Mans and, you know, like, and just kind of remind people of what Richie can do and what also Murph had achieved, just to try kind of build that interest and, you know, just remind people that these guys are both gun drivers and, you know, it would be a great addition for the sport to have them in for the weekend. So, so I plugged away on that for a little bit. I was posting a lot. I really put a lot of time into it. I really enjoyed it. And then not long after starting it, Murph and Richie got on behind the page, and so did Peter Adderton and Boost Mobile, which was just fantastic. And once it started to gain a little bit of momentum and the word started to get out that, you know, it was a potential possibility, I was just mind blown to see. And, you know, thousands of people by that point had gone in behind the pages and they were really keen to see it happen too. And then I had Boost Mobile, Peter and Jason sing out to me and say that they, you know, if we can make it all work, they want me to be there with them and run the social media for the team, for the entry and be there with the guys and support the team. And for a Kiwi that, you know, is quite far away from all that kind of world and, you know, been such a big fan of myself, you know, like of the supercars and the circus and that, I thought that would never happen, you know, being able to actually be involved with something like that. So when the opportunity came, I said to Peter and Jason, I will do anything to help. If you bring me over there, I'll sweep the garages if you need me to, you know, I really want to help. So once that was all starting to look pretty good, you know, I was starting to get quite pumped, and I was getting a lot of laughs on the page and that as well. I like to, you know, have a bit of banter, and I was making a lot of jokes about Russell Ingall and Greg Murphy racing door to door again, because it was originally supposed to be in 2021, and people love that. So I'd Photoshop Russell and Greg on mobility scooters racing around Bathurst and stuff like that, just to have a bit of a laugh. People seem to enjoy it, so that was cool. And again, just got a lot of support, and then I think it was about May 2021. It got confirmed that Erebus Motorsport would run the wild card and Richie and Murph would be back for the first time in since 2019 and 2014 respectively, which was just fantastic. I couldn't believe it. And they sent me a video when they announced it on Sunrise that morning. And it was Richie and Murph saying thank you and how they appreciated what I'd done and how it was a factor in why they came back. And to hear that was just mental. And I thought, this is just amazing, you know, like, this is actually going to happen. You know, I can't believe that we've managed to get Murph back for another Bathurst and Richie back in a car. I just thought it's just mental. And
I don't think Murph could believe he was coming back after Pete blackmailed him.
well, that's exactly right. And you know, Murph was definitely the harder one to convince. You know, Richie, I think, was on board a lot earlier. But, you know, for Richie as well, you know, a big part of coming back was knowing that he could drive with his childhood hero. You know, like I talked to Richie's mum about it, and she said, you know, Richie used to have posters of Murph on the wall, and you know, like a lot of us had, and you know, used to idolize him. Yeah, exactly right. You've
Sprint
got the
Gas
setup right behind
Murphy,
you.
Sprint Gas Murphy suit hanging on the wall behind me.
There you go. So, you know, like, and that's what Richie was like. So, you know, the fact that he knew that he could come back to Bathurst under the wing of Greg, race with his hero in the Car 51, you know, I think that was a big incentive for Richie to come back. And so yeah, so it was all looking really cool. And you know, we're trying to organize test days and that. But then unfortunately, COVID got on the road again, and then all the MIQ and everything happened. So for New Zealanders, if they wanted to come over to Australia, they would have to do 2 weeks quarantine here, 2 weeks quarantine there, so essentially a month either side. Well, a month.
Oh, and that's if you could even get a slot with your
Well, that's it, and that was
hotel
a big
rule
thing.
and stuff.
In New Zealand, it was poor. You know, like there was no spots, like no one could get in. People
Unless you were
waiting
the
months and
All
months.
Blacks, because then you can come and go.
Exactly right. You know, like New Zealand has a thing for supporting, you know, rugby and cricket and you know, a few of those kind of sports, but they're not big on their motorsport. So, you know, that hampered, and I know Murph and Richie, they both, I don't think they were prepared to do that. You know, Murph
Nah.
has a lot of commitments, so it's really hard for him. You know, if he had to step away for a month and sitting in a hotel room, and that just didn't work. So, yeah, it was, I think, about September, October, because Bathurst was delayed that year. It got announced that it was getting postponed. It was called off. At that point, I was a little worried. I'm going, you know, I really hope we can revive it for next year. You know, they wanted to, but there was always circumstances which could change. And then, you know, I kept in contact with Boost and just to see, you know, what was going on. Unfortunately, we regained a bit of traction again the following year. And then we managed to get it all teed up, which was fantastic. And then they had a few test days, and apparently Richie was just mental. Apparently it was like third or fourth lap around the track, he was already just smashing it with the lap
Yeah,
times. He was just straight
absolutely.
back into it, you know. And this is after a couple of 3 years without being in the car, and you know, that I think gave them a lot of confidence. And then, you know, we ended up after their, you know, test days, you know, Pukekohe happened, and you know, that's when we caught up, and Murph ran in an old Ford Sierra and got a few miles, which was great. And Richie was there, and I caught up with him when he came to Pukekohe. And then, yeah,
well, it was
then
Murph and Johnny
Bathurst.
Bow in that
Yeah.
Classics race. Johnny Bower was zooming around in the Sierra as well. It was the old Dick Johnson Sierra?
Yeah, it
The
was. It
bloke that
was. And
bought the guy that over there that's bought it, the
yeah,
Shell,
yeah.
the
And
Shell Sierra.
the Shell Sierra. And then Stephen Richards was also racing, and they had a lot of the old school guys that wanted one last run around Pukekohe. And it was great though, because you know, it gave Murph one more go around Pukekohe, and you know, it was great to get him a few miles as well. And then
yeah, that turn one bump, how good is it?
Oh mate, unreal! Eh? It's
The whole
the
back end of
character
the
in that.
straight. Johnny Bower's visor, like helmet, keeps falling down over his eyes because of this track's
Yeah,
so rough. Yeah, you forgot
that's it.
about
The amount of
that.
character, you know, and you know, when we're talking to John, you know, it was great, because you know, he just gave a lot of us, you know, gave us an insight on how awesome the track is because of the character and just the history of the track, you know. And it was a hard weekend to say goodbye, and I'm chuffed that you were able to, you know, see it before it did disappear.
Oh, I
And
wish I came so many years earlier. I always had it on the list for next year. You know what I mean?
That's it. And, you know, and it is one of those things. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, you know, like it's, you know, I'm just glad you did get that opportunity.
Oh,
And it was a
what
good
a
one.
Circuit, though. What an amphitheater for sport. Like, it's very similar analog to the Sandown setup with the horse track and the racing circuit around the outside, except for you guys have got the best viewing mounds with the grandstands all the way down the straight and everything, but that viewing mound there is right across pit lane. It's just brilliant.
Oh, it's great. And you know, you watch it all unfold, and you really feel like you're part of it. You can watch all the pit stops, and you know, there's a real amphitheater kind of feel there. And you know, like, it's such a shame. I was absolutely heartbroken when they announced that it was getting shut down, and that they're
bloody
going to rip
horse
up
racing
turn
people,
one, you know, to put a, you
put
know, a new
stables in.
stable there. And you know, like, and those kind of things, you know, Pukekohe have been around for 50 years and or 60 years. And to see it, you know, closed doors like that, you know, it was heartbreaking. But fortunately, we had a bit to look forward to in the coming weeks. And so what happened was, Jason from Boost Mobile, who runs Boost Mobile these days, he was fantastic in the whole scenario. He wanted to make sure that I was teed up with the guys. So I flew over with Murph, and Murph's trainer, and we teed up with Richie in Darling Harbour in Sydney on the Tuesday morning, and then we then caught up with Peter and a few of the guys, and had breakfast, had a good yarn, got pumped. Then we headed to Bathurst. So we travelled. It was, yeah, Richie, Murph, myself, and Murph's trainer, and it was fantastic. Just talking a bit of crap and finding out, you know, like, just, you know, how excited they were for the weekend, you know, and it was all looking cool, getting some good stories, and really enjoyed that. And then once we got to Bathurst, we're like, okay, Murph goes, we've got to drive around the track. He said, I've done it every year I've raced here. I need to drive around the track when I arrive. It's part of it. And we go up to the, just out of turn one, and we go to go up the mountain, and they go, no, you can't.
Yeah, stupid go, fun police.
Exactly. They're like, we're sorry, but you can't. And then, you know, Murph's like, well, you know, we're racing this weekend, you know, like, I'm a full-time winner here. You know, I just want to go around once to have a look at the track. And they said, no, you need to have a pass. So we ended up having to go back out of the circuit, go get the passes, come back, and then they let us through. And so we went up the mountain and had a stop just before Skyline, and took a bit of a photo, and, you know, of the guys back at Bathurst, which was great. And then went back down and came back around, going opposite direction to the track, which was a weird feeling. And yeah. So then we came back down Mountain Straight.
You didn't keep going down through the elbow.
So we ended up going down, and just as we were getting through the chase, it was all blocked off. So we had to turn around at the chase and come back.
All the way back around again. Yeah. So they just kind of side near the footbridge as well.
Down at Murray's. But that was all right, because we got to go the opposite direction, which was honestly one of the weirdest feelings I've ever had.
100%.
You know, just going up the mountain from that end. So that was cool. But yeah, then we ended up back at one of the houses that we were staying at, and just kind of chilled and talked about what was ahead, and Murph and Richie were excited. You know, we were just talking about what the possibilities were, and you know, like, Richie really wanted to get in the 10. Peter gave him and Murph a bit of incentive too, said he'd give them a few goodies if they managed to crack the 10. So that was a bit of incentive for the boys if they needed any more. So then the weekend kind of kicked off, and the guys straight away did an awesome job. Like, we had a few little kind of mechanical issues right at the start in the first practice or two, just getting the car kind of, you know, getting going again. And you know, they got comfortable relatively quickly. The hard thing for the guys was, though, just the change in track all weekend just made it so hard for them to get in a good rhythm and get some really good laps. Like, I don't think Murph got stuff all dry running, and Richie... Yep. Richie got stuff all running as well, really. So when we came into qualifying on Friday, you know, we weren't expecting too much, and we were kind of hoping for a bit of rain, because the car, we were struggling with straight line speed. We were a few K down on the straight, so we were kind of struggling a bit there. So for us, it was like a bit of rain just evens out, you know, like the straight line speed deficit, and just makes it a bit less pain. So on Friday, when it started raining, we're going, oh, okay, this could be good. You know, we might be quite competitive here. And then quali happened, and which Friday, by the way, happened to be my birthday, which was a fantastic way to celebrate and you know, have my birthday at Bathurst. And and then Richie
is part peddled
the thing to fifth place in qualifying, which ended up being fourth because of Shane's penalty.
Penalty, yeah.
And so put us on the second row of the grid, and we're thinking, well, it wasn't all done there. We were going, okay, top 10 tomorrow, you know, and if it's raining, Richie could be a shot for pole here, you know, who knows? This is quite exciting. And then on Saturday, the weirdest thing happened, where the shootout was cancelled due to the amount of standing water and the rain and everything. And, you know, we're quite gutted in a way, because we're going, you know, we could have potentially got even further forward, you know, the way Richie was and how competitive he was. But it just wasn't meant to be, and the fortunate thing was, we had a straight car going into Sunday. We were starting fourth on the grid, second row of the grid for a wild card with two retired drivers. Was just mental, so that was just absolutely mega. And so we took that with a bit of a pinch of salt. We're going, hey, couldn't run the shootout, but we're starting fourth, so that was awesome. And then come race day, Murph got to start the car, which was really cool. So he actually got a pretty decent start too, which was mega, and ended up pretty much up to P2 going into the first corner, and then he kind of was pushed out a bit wide and got in the puddle and dropped a couple spots. So that was just the way it was, and then all the drama unfolded behind him.
Yeah.
And
that was
then, you
old
know, like he
Jamie.
just yeah, exactly. And all the and you know,
Doing the
Jacko
same
got caught
thing,
up
putting the
and
boots in the puddle on the outside of two
exactly
or outside
and
of
gone
one,
and
and yeah.
fortunately, you know, for Murphy, he was
Took
able to,
out Jack Perkins. Took him.
he did. He did, you know, it was crazy. And we're going, geez, you know, and we're just so happy at that point. We're going, Murph got through, you know, like it's all good, car's clean. And then it kind of kicked off again, you know, like there was a safety car. They managed to get everyone kind of cleaned up. And then as soon as it got going again, we had old Goddard, Zane Goddard, went down the
Yeah.
inside of Murph, going into the chase and unfortunately overcooked it and then went
Oh,
through
yeah.
and ended up having a pretty decent shunt. So that was again very we're very, very close to getting caught up in that. Murph just kind of saw him there at the last second and opened up the steering and let him through, which was
Was that also
very
Reynolds? Was that
fortunate.
also Reynolds involved in that one as
Yeah,
well?
so Reynolds and Heimgartner both got caught up in that one,
Yeah, that's right.
and that
I
was
was actually on that corner at that time at outside the chase, and yeah, that was.
It was mental and you know, really gutted for, you know, there was a lot of guys, races, you know, six drivers were out there, you know, three
Yeah,
cars,
done
six
in the first
drivers.
handful of laps, just bang, out.
Exactly. It was gutting and you know, and then Murph, what we found that first stint especially, you know, Murph was because he had very little dry running, he just took a bit to gain the confidence and I think a lot of the drivers behind kind of realized that, you know, Murph was still kind of getting his head around it, and so he dropped back a little bit. But people were just throwing down the inside, and Murph just wanted to keep the car straight, and because he really wanted to, you know, give it to Richie, and so Richie could do his thing. And then yeah, the day kind of unfolded all right. Unfortunately for us, we were sharing a pit boom with 888 with Lowndes and Fraser, and unfortunately they were the only car that decided to do the same strategy as us. So we wanted the long strategy, you know, just kind of, you know, stay out for track position and stuff like that. But yeah, unfortunately 888 did the same. So we ended up on the same strategy and we ended up having to stack three or four times through the race, and that kind of put us back. And then, you know, we were trucking on all right, I think running kind of 15th, 16th, kind of lead lap, and Murph was in the car, and unfortunately Jake Kostecki came down the inside at turn two and turned Murph around, and that ended up putting him quite far back. And then just was the way of the green running that lasted just yonks, they ended up going a lap down, which kind of hampered us a lot. And then fortunately there was a couple of safety cars nearing the end, and we got back on the lead lap, and Richie ended up pedalling it to 11th, just behind Will Brown in 10th. Just held off Golding, who was right behind. But
Oh, it
all
was
day,
mad. We thought you guys were going to literally pull into the 10. And I'm going, well, there's Hero Murph, but there's Brownie. Like,
yeah,
don't take each other out. Somebody take out ninth.
exactly.
Like, somebody put ninth into the wall, please, so we can both be 9 and 10.
Exactly, and have all three boost cars in the 10, you know, like it was,
Yeah, because
you know,
Brady was on a mission. He was on a tear.
It was great, you know, and we were all pumped, and you know, it showed how much Peter was into, you know, the wildcard program, because he was stuck in our garage, you know, like Brody was fighting for the podium, you know, in one of the other boost cars, but Peter was here right next to Richie and well, Richie's dad and Murph and Murph's family, and we're all just watching how Richie was going. And you know, it really, the one kind of, you know, sad thing that kind of happened was because of our straight line speed, it was just impossible to overtake, because you know, we
Oh, for
had it a
sure,
few
engines.
times where Richie was right up the bum end of another car coming out of turn one. He would get alongside him and he'd be pretty much in front, and then the car would end up coming back in front of him again by the end of the straight, because we just had no straight line speed. So for Richie, he couldn't really move too far forward unless someone had a bit of a moment, you know, and gave him a good opportunity. So you know, but Richie did a monumental job. You know, 3 years out of the car, he was punching it, doing the lap times of all the full timers, and you know, and at that point, I think he really enjoyed it. You know, I think just being back in the car and being able to have a bit of fun with it, and not having all those external kind of pressures. You know, Peter just wanted him to have fun. You know, and before the sessions, that's what he keeps saying. You know, once we turned our first lap on Thursday, Peter goes, "Whatever comes next is a bonus. You know,
Yeah, we're
we've made
done.
it. We've got
We've
here.
made it.
You know, we've." Exactly. And so when it ended up, you know, going as well as it did and got fourth on the grid and finished P11, you know, after a day, you know, the race day didn't really pan out, but we still finished. The car was
We didn't
clean, you
bin
know, like,
it.
yeah, well,
There's still
it was
over half the field's parked up behind us, so
Exactly. And you know, we had a 50-year-old Greg Murphy. We, you know, and Richie Stanaway had been out. And you know, so for us it was just mental. And so it was such a great feeling on that Sunday night, you know, like in the garage and everything, just everyone was so happy. And I tell you what, being in that environment, being around Richie and Murph's support groups, you know, because again, you only see so much from the point of view of a supporter, you know, like you don't really see that kind of support. And tell you what, they are just all awesome people, and you can see why, you know, both of them are so successful, because they've got a great support team behind them. And it was great to see, you know, Murph was able to be there with his kids. You know, like he didn't get to experience that with his last Bathurst start. You know, his kids were all quite young, and
Yeah,
they didn't really, you know, but
they
now they're a bit older, and they could all appreciate what he was doing,
was
and they
racing
could all be
himself
there.
now.
Exactly. And it was the same for Richie. You know, the fact that, you know, when he got out of the car, you know, mum and dad were there. You know, he had all these friends and family, and they were all there to support him. And it was just the atmosphere in that carriage was just magnificent. And I think that translated in the performance, because, you know, everyone, it was a place people wanted to be. A lot of people came down to see how we were going, you know, like because they were all interested and wanted us to do well. And then when we did, it was like amazing, you know, like we were just happy to be there. So to be competitive was just mega. So, you know, we'll always look back at that weekend as, you know, like we're best ever qualifying for a wild card at Bathurst. You know, we didn't, you know, Lounsey got the P8, which was the best result,
Yes.
but you know, like we'll definitely still take 11th and fourth on the grid. And you know, and then going forward, you know, we were just thinking, if Richie wants to hang up the helmet now, that's fine. You know, he's done a great job showing everyone that he can still drive and he's still competitive. And and then when he after the weekend he said he was open to driving more, we were going, this is just mental. Now we actually might get Richie back racing again. And then a few months later we hear, you know, like Peter tried to get a car on the grid for this year, and unfortunately all the politics behind supercars, it didn't eventuate.
Don't
But
get
you
me
know, that's
started on that. I'll go for another hour on that one. Don't you worry.
exactly. It's yeah, there's a lot there. But Richie then got the next best thing. He ended up pairing up with a good mate. You know, Shane and Richie's families know each other well, and they've you know got a lot of history. So the fact that Richie could race with Shane, you know, we knew that was going to be a great pairing, and so you know those guys next round are going to kick off together, and I think that'll be mental. They will be a great combination.
That's like one of the top five driver couplings for the
Oh, for
Enduros kicking off in a couple of weeks. That's going to be
it's I
pretty
really.
solid.
I can't wait to see how Richie goes in these Gen 3 cars, and in a car that you know is competitive. You know, like the last time he drove a car that competitive was when he was at Tickford in 2017,
You with
pairing with
Waters.
Waters.
I
And
was
then,
there. I got sprayed by his champagne when they won the 500 on debut. Lined me
exactly, you
up
know,
right in
and they got
the
pole, they won the race, they dominated the
on
race. They,
rookies, as rookies.
yeah. And Bathurst, you know, they were because it was wet as well, they were doing so well, and they should have been a real shot. And then again, things didn't work
I bet it
out. Like
dried out on Sunday after that
they did, and
miserable.
oh, and, but they were again, they were competitive throughout the day, and then Gold Coast, they were competitive again. And I think they came second in one of the races, you know. So Richie in a good car, he was punching with Waters. So I think we'll see him be competitive with Shane, and I think he'll
For
do a
sure.
great job. And then obviously, the thing that's come off it is that now he's been announced as Reynolds' replacement at Grove, which is just mental. So now to think, you know, two and a half years ago,
A
he
thought
was.
bubble, a little thought bubble where Pete said, I really want to see Richie come back and I want to do something to help him out because of the way he left GRM and the perception that it
Exactly.
was all Pete and Pete owed him a debt, which is what
Yeah.
Pete's said. I will do everything I can to try to get him back onto the grid because he felt bad about the way it all ended.
Yeah, exactly.
And then a
And
couple of years down the track, we have the wild card. Look, based on your efforts with the fan support and the petition and just the sheer avalanche of posting and history that you were continuing to build a momentum behind on the Boost Wildcard page, I think you got what did you end up on the petition? Like 4,000 people, was it?
oh, again, yeah, got so much support, man.
Like
You
in the
know, like I
first,
think,
only in the first month or so, it just like blew up. It just
and
shared around when we shared it. Everyone just went nuts and went, we want to see Murph back on track. And yeah, good to see Richie too, because, you know, some people were GRM fans and didn't like the way he left, or a lot of people went, well, Richie did it to himself. back in the day. He was a young bloke and, his head was in a different place. But they all wanted to see Murph come back and they went, yeah, let's do this. Let's get it happening. So everyone's jumped on. You've ended up in Bathurst. I could barely catch up with you over the week you were there. I only saw you like three or four times because you were too busy running from one side of the circuit to the other side of the circuit.
Oh, that's it. And being embedded in that team, and having the opportunity to be alongside them and kind of watch all unfold from that point of view, and I wanted to keep the fans engaged. So, I was in there posting updates and photos and for us as well, we didn't actually have any sound in the garage, from the commentary or anything. So, during the weekend, it was, I was kind of helping Peter and all that understand what was going on. And like on race day, we just had timing sitting there in the screen with the pitches, but we didn't have any commentary. So, especially on race day, I'm there going, okay, they pitted this long ago. We're going for this kind of strategy, trying to build a bit of a pitch around it for the team. So, it was quite hard to kind of step out of there and it was just the place to be and just kind of mingling with all these people and finding out a bit more and just being able to spend the time with Julie and Richard and a lot of Richie's family and just everyone was just fantastic and I just treasure that opportunity to be able to meet them all and see their point of view on the all the scenarios and just hear more of the story. You only hear so much through news agencies and the likes. You never get the full picture, and I feel like I got more of a picture, and that just made me respect and follow Richie and Murph even more, because seeing who's behind them really, really was so cool to see. Not everyone has that kind of support behind them, and I think it does make a big, big difference. And so to see, Richie with that and the whole thing about the page, once we got a bit of momentum, for me, a massive, massive part of it was to change the perception of Richie. Because, there was a lot of kind of this false image of him. People kind of saw him as the person who had a struggling attitude at the end of his supercar career, but that wasn't Richie. He was in a bad situation, and of course, he's when you're in that kind of place where you haven't got confidence in yourself, you haven't got confidence in your team, the team don't have confidence in you in a way. All this kind of it
Yeah,
transpires
it all
into
broke down. The whole thing, literally one-on-one-on-one. Then there's not going to the presser. That was, I think, just the final straw. Like, that wasn't the reason. That was just the last bit that fractured it. And Gary's of the same mentality as a lot of old school racers. There's no free lunch. If you're working with GRM, you're down packing orders, you're working on a daily basis. Don't care if you're the driver or you're the head engineer or you're the apprentice, you're doing what anybody needs you to do for the business, because it's the business of car racing is Gary Rogers Motorsport. It's everybody's, and he's not the last that have gone through there or the first that has been let go because of not prepared to, sweep the floors and stuff.
20 years ago, a young Jamie Whincup got sacked from that team.
Yeah, and a tander.
So there's been a lot of names, and just because it doesn't work with a particular team or team owner, whatever it may be, doesn't mean that they're not a good driver. With that's been
No, it's
proven.
nothing to do with
You know,
it.
and you've got to have that right environment behind you. And we've seen it so many times. You look at the whole Percat scenario at Walkinshaw. That guy, when he was at Brad Jones, he was punching well. Really, really well, and he won with Lucas Dumbrell. He, you know, he's done a lot of great, great stuff over the years, and for some reason, whatever it may be, he's just not clicking with Walkinshaw, and Walkinshaw aren't clicking with him. And I don't, I'm gutted to see how he's going, but I don't rate him really any less. And I know he's got the ability and all that. It's just this whole environment hasn't worked. And that's what you would have, was the same thing with Richie and Tickford and GRM. It's just those environments weren't right. And it was just unfortunate that it was the start of his career with two scenarios which just didn't work. And I think Stephen Grove has just been fantastic with like Matt Payne, and he's given him so much support, and he's gotten the experience of Garth Tander and a lot of these engineers which
Yeah,
have worked with
Gouchy.
some of the best drivers, and they know, like there's the whole misconception that, if someone doesn't have a personality, it means they're not a good driver. It's just not the case. Not everyone can be a Craig Lowndes or a Greg Murphy or, can Peter Brock. you know, kiss the babies and shake hands and all that kind of stuff. You know, not everyone's like that, and you know, you shouldn't rate Richie as a lesser driver for that. You know, because
this is the same situation you're talking now that we're talking about him at Grove. Davey Reynolds was their big poaching, right? So they poached him. Well, there was initially, well, let's talk about team frictions and dynamics. Dave signs with Erebus for 10 years.
Yep.
1 year into during COVID, Al, his engineer, can't travel away and be locked up for 3 months up north where all the teams were living away just to try to stay within borders. We had four rounds in a row at Sydney Motorsport Park. We have back-to-backs up in Townsville. We have, you know, back-to-backs in Darwin and stuff. So Dave's relationship with Barry deteriorated without having Al as the buffer to engineer to pass on the communications from Baz to Dave. Their personalities don't work well together in that circumstance. And so he's out. He goes, I'm not playing anymore. That's done my head in. So there's your fractured relationship. Ends up going to Grove. Al goes with him, takes Penrite with him, unfortunately. Took the whole bloody kit and caboodle over to Grove. Now, that relationship's not working. And Dave's out of contract at the end of the year, and they're more than happy to let him go.
Yeah.
His results haven't necessarily developed to where their expectations were. Plus, whatever else is going on in the garage with the Grove's plan, once they brought into the team, because they were Kelly Grove to start with, and then so once that transition happened, Dave's out at the end of the year, shooting off to Team 18 by all reports, which will be happening. It's just waiting for clear air to pump that out.
Yeah,
but then Richie, who is the co-e for Shane at Triple Eight, and I think he had done did he do a GT round as well once?
So Richie's been doing a little bit of the Australian GT.
But before Feeney sort of jumped into the slot, didn't Richie have a little bit of Fanatec GT? Didn't he have a round or two?
Yeah. So Richie's done it when Brock can't, because, same weekend. And then Richie's also been doing the Asia series. So he's been running over there as well. So, like, he raced at Okayama last weekend in Japan.
Yeah, right. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's had the miles and you know, he's been embedded with that Triple Eight team. You know, he's been doing stuff with them and their engineers and all that as well. So that's been good to get embedded in the team. And fortunately for Triple Eight, it's a big benefit too, because Richie's got great experience in GT cars. He raced in the World Endurance Championship for a few years as an Aston Martin factory driver. So he's got the pedigree for it. And I think that would have been a great benefit to the team, and you know, like he did a fantastic job at Sydney Motorsport Park when he was in that car. He jumped in and he was doing lap record after lap record, and ended up there was a fantastic finish in that race with Richie, you know, really going for it, and again, I think it all reminded us, and went, you know, this kid's a star, you know, like we got to see this. And
yeah, he got back on the radar. He got literally back onto the people's talking point, not just about the wild card one off finishing 11th, having a great sort of novelty round, which it was, and made for great TV and the great story, like the doco, the wildcard doco, made for a great story. But now he's sort of got his bum back in the seat and he's back across people's desks. So Triple Eight were using all of his like lines in that wet sessions in Bathurst at the time, because he had the best lines. So they were studying him from previous years as well.
About 2017.
Yeah.
Looking at the footage from back then.
Well, this is how Richie did it. So let's get him in, put him in the stable as a co-e. Shane's shooting off. We don't want to keep him as a full-time driver. And my opinion, it's all because he's not a Red Bull ambassador personality.
Yeah. And I think after experience with Shane, you know, but Shane's quite a similar personality to Richie in a way. And, you know, likes to do his talking on the track, you know, isn't a big personality off the track.
All the media stuff, all the ancillary things. He's a racer.
He just wants to race.
He doesn't want to be doing press conferences and doing all little novelty bits and pieces and all that stuff.
And
I don't think Richie's
that
the
role.
Same. Richie's quiet. He's a quiet personality. He's quietly spoken.
For sure.
Times that I've met him and spoken with him, he's very reserved. And being an introvert, and Shane's an introvert, Red Bull is not an introverted company brand. They're an extrovert.
Not
They're
at all.
High energy, X Games, extreme sports, extreme everything. They want loud, loud, confident, not someone who just turns up quietly and stands in the corner.
They want Will Brown, and that's what
that's
they got.
Right. And
You
he's
know,
a pilot.
Exactly. He's perfect for that kind of role. And
Him and
that's why
Matty
you can
Hall are
see.
going to be doing like Sky Skids together. They're going to be doing Red Bull promos in the car and in the air. Like the
Exactly.
whole
And so you can.
cross-promotional sport dynamic is just tick, 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 tick. Because it was actually Red Bull that was chasing Will Brown, not Triple Eight.
Yeah, exactly. And you can see why, you know,
I mean,
and
Triple
that
Eight murdered
move.
him again, but it was all because Red Bull was saying, why can't we have Will Brown? Oh, he's under contract. Are you sure? Because
Exactly.
we have a model. We have a brand. This guy, the only other guy that would really fit in the lane would be Chaz.
Yeah,
As a Red Bull brand. Waters is monster, but Waters is miserable. He always looks like he's pouting and looks like someone stole his lunch. Like
he's a good match for Tim Edwards then.
Yeah. Well, we've got happy Tim at the moment. We've got smiling Tim because
We
look at the
do.
last round. Like all
We do after
three
Randall's
Tickfords are up
performance
in
of
the
that.
10, you know. A couple of podiums. Tommy Randall had a breakout weekend. Too bad he's about to get sacked. And
Oh, again, all these scenarios, you know, it really does make you wonder. You know, like it's especially Randall. That for me, if he's not in that second Tickford seat next year, then there's something
Well,
seriously
look,
wrong.
well, since Townsville, right? So I remember when I put all this stuff out, when I put all my statements about driver movements way back in Townsville, and I got a whole bunch of comments back. A lot of people just shaking their head going, you're full of crap. You know, what are you talking about? Like, garbage, you just whatever. And other people going, oh, really? So I said, well, mate, I don't have to defend myself. Just wait for time and we'll see
Exactly.
where these statements end up. So
See how
far,
it
it's tick,
unfolds.
tick, tick, tick. Scotty Pye retiring. What are you talking about? He's not going anywhere. Yeah, well, but just wait. Just wait and see till the end of the year. Oh, look what happened. He's out. Cam Waters, if he was out, was trying to find a NASCAR drive, and he's like, no, no, no. All of a sudden, the whole NASCAR America talk stopped after Townsville. And then he's all, no, I'm staying at Tickford. Where is he right now? This weekend in Daytona, trying to get a NASCAR deal done for next year. He's out of time for this year, but might be able to pull a cameo off every now and again. But getting into the enduros, there's some test days coming up. Timing might not be like, we get a bit compressed now towards the end of this year.
Now we get into the kind of business time of the year, and you know, there's some big events. The next three events are massive, so it's going to be
But
it's all
like I
go.
said, he's off. He's going to go. If he had a deal this year, he wouldn't have even finished the season. He would have just walked and gone on a plane and taken off to the States. So that might be next. He'll be doing some NASCAR racing next year, and his contract's up, so he doesn't have to break it, doesn't have to buy it out, so he doesn't have to owe Tim any money. And then 25, he'll be, if he's not lined up for next year, he'll be definitely there in 25. But he will be racing in the States next year, on like Brody will be, just doing bits and pieces.
Exactly.
So like all these other things that I put down there out in the wild, everyone's going, yeah, rubbish. And it's like, well, not so much rubbish. It's all
That's it,
coming,
you know,
all coming. The one that I didn't get early enough, because, you know, things change, obviously. I'm talking Townsville, that's months ago, was the whole Jack LeBrock leaving MSR.
Yeah, that one got me too. You know,
That
I
was a
you know,
surprise.
they had a few options there, and you know, like for me, especially with the Erebus Academy program, you know, I really did think that would be something they'd be looking at, you know, to see if they can maybe move up, you know, the next generation and get.
Hansen's not quite ready yet. He's still got to do a little bit more in Super 2s with his racecraft. Like he's very win it or bin it. And so a bit like Jake Ostecki when he was running around with Tickford before they got Declan. He was a very win it or bin it kind of guy. Just have to learn a little bit more
kind of
patience.
patience and a bit more experience and just build on that skill set.
Sometimes coming second is where you need to be. Yes, you are a racer. Yes, you always want to win and you need to have that drive. But at some point, points for second will get you a championship as opposed to a DNF if you've pushed it
Exactly.
too hard, just trying to make a move in the dying steps of a race. And a lot of young blokes, I mean, that's what the whole T86 category is.
Exactly right. You're right there.
And the Super 2s, all the Super 2s boys are guilty of it. Like, how many green laps of racing did they get last year? I think they worked it out. The cost of racing in Super 2s was about $6,000 a lap. Where in under green, because they had so many yellows,
That's
compared
mental.
to you go to TCRs or something else, and that those because there's so much more green racing, I think the cost of lap was only about $400 a lap of green because they don't bin it.
Well, that's it, and you know, it's a shame for those that, you know, really do need the experience, you know, like, because they really are kind of they're just not given as many green laps as they need, you know, like,
Oh, dude,
we
they're
want to see
paying up to
them.
$1 million for a Super 2's year, anywhere from $650 to just under $1 million to run a full Super 2's program, which is only six rounds.
Exactly. 10 years ago, that would have got you a supercar campaign.
100%,
You know,
it would
like,
have.
And in terms of, you know, money for campaign, and that's the shame thing, because, you know, these days, like, how many people can put together a $1 million budget to race in a second tier category, to again run so many laps just under yellow, you know,
And
like,
then maybe have an opportunity for a seat that becomes available on a reducing field because a stupid idea about going to a 24-car grid instead of a 30-car grid, expanding the sport.
that
Actually,
one's just
we'll
mental.
move on to that. Like, so we'll just wrap up. We'll just put a bow in this whole wildcard thing, which is basically one of the best initiatives that you've ever been involved with. And so now you've moved on to the page is now the Motorsport Kiwi on Facebook. So that's all put behind us. Before we get into the current stuff, we'll get a bit sidetracked. So your Motorsport Kiwi is your Facebook page and Instagram. What's the next step? What's the next step for you with being basically the official, unofficial fan representative for New Zealand in motorsport? You're basically the fans' nexus point for Kiwi supporters.
Yeah, well, I really want to, you know, because once the wildcard kind of, you know, wrapped up, and we saw that there wasn't really an opportunity for Richie full time this year with Boost and the likes. I thought, you know, what do I do? I've got, you know, 10 at that point, I think about 10,000 fans, and I go, you know, we've got such a cool, loyal, passionate fan base, and I really wanted to continue it on. And I go, what can we do? And I thought, I'm a bit of a supercar nut and motorsport nut like you are, and you know, just born different sides of the pond. And I always, you know, anyone that talks to me, I can talk for hours and hours, and I have this passion and knowledge of the sport. And I thought it'd be cool to be able to utilize that further. And you know, I'm a little bit of a personality as well, so I thought, you know, great opportunity to be able to build the page into something that can kind of unite a lot of passionate fans of motorsport, and especially on the side of the pond, and you know, kind of keep them updated about what's going on, and throw back to history of the sports, and why we should be excited looking into the future, and kind of just educate people for, you know, there's a lot of things that have happened in Australasian motorsport that, you know, a lot of the newer fan base don't really know or haven't really witnessed, and you know, it's an opportunity for them to learn more about, you know, your older generation drivers. Like, I've done quite a few pieces on Jim Richards, because I think he's just so underrated. Like, supercars should be bringing him up a lot more on the commentary, because he was one of the best drivers to race in Australian touring cars. He just was mental. Anything he drove, he was great. And you know, so if I do research, I go through the archives to try to find stuff that I think is so cool and that I really enjoyed as a fan. And I try to just share that with the fan base, and want them to engage, and I want to see what they like, and you know, what they want to see, and ways that we can enjoy, you know, because this year we've been deprived of a lot of great motorsport because our calendar's smaller for supercars. You know, on this side of the pond, we're not seeing supercars this year, so you know, there's a bit of a hole, and you know, like, we get around a month this year, so we still want to get our motorsport fix. And I thought it's a great opportunity, you know, to put little highlight packages of races from back in the day, or, you know, just particular moments which have happened, which people have forgotten about, or, you know, it's just a way to kind of, just share kind of a lot of the great history from this part of the world.
You're a bit like a Kiwi sleuth.
Well, funnily enough, I ran into Aaron when I was over in at Bathurst, and I said that's what I've had people call me, and I said, you know, it's quite the
Yeah.
honour because I know how much of a you know, he's just mental, that guy, and you know, I've always looked up to Aaron for what he's done, and you know, especially back in the day, what he used to do with Supercars TV and with the Super 2 and all that. He was just fantastic about, you know, sharing, you know, who these drivers were and what they were capable of. And it was just great because, again, you only see one side of the story a lot of the time. So it's great to see kind of more in depth who these people are, why we should support them. And you know, that really helps just build the profile of young drivers. And so, you know, I really want to, especially going forward, I would love to be able to, you know, engage with the fans even more. Like at the moment, I'm doing a thing where we're trying to build the perfect supercar calendar, you know, where I just want to, I'm asking the fans, what do we want to see? You know, how many events do we want to see? What do we want to start the year with? What, you know, how many enduros do we want? You know, do we want to do a 2 weekend thing in New Zealand? You know, like just seeing what people like, just to see how far away the real thing is. And you know, kind of just another way to show supercars, this is what the fans want. You know, we've had thousands of people engage with this. This is what we want to see.
Well, that's where we're going to leave the first part of our chat with Jaden. We have another full episode to go, but for brevity, that's covering off just nicely the Motorsport Kiwi and the Boost Mobile Wildcard episode. And so stay tuned and tune into episode 20 for the second half as we now discuss the rest of our opinions on current supercars, the calendar, and much, much more. Once again, big thank you to Jason Sweeney at gamelife.com.au for all of our streaming needs. Thank you for supplying us that kit again. And everybody, wrap your ears around episode 20, which is part two of my chat with the Motorsport Kiwi himself. And we will then not be far away from Sandown. The first of the Enduros are back for this year. So we will see you in episode 20.